You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Are you still there? To delete your message, press 7. To save it in the archives, press 9. To hear more options, press 0.
What are you talking about?
What is good, everybody? This is the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points Network, and we are back for the special edition. I don't know if it's special edition, but the pre-Grammy trip edition of our podcast. As always, I'm Tomer Azarli, your Clippers reporter, host of the Battle for LA podcast, along with Ryan Ward, our Lakers reporter.
Hello.
Saying hi as usual and then disappearing. Oh, hello. Okay. And so, yeah, we're before we look ahead to the Grammy trip, we're just going to jump right into our, you know, our first segment of the podcast, which is the winners of the week, the players who have played the best on both the Lakers and Clippers, you know, who've helped them win the most. Just recapping the past week for the Lakers. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Dominance. Let's just say dominance. And a little slip up against the Magic. And that's about it. With no AD, by the way, for four straight games. I don't think they've been challenged much. I think they just kind of underestimated the Magic. And they almost won. They lost by 1 point. Could have easily gone the other way. So I'd say dominant.
Well, they were riding a 9-game win streak entering that game, I believe. Or 8-game win streak, whatever it was. Yeah. Nine game. The last week they beat Dallas in Dallas convincingly. They beat OKC in OKC convincingly without LeBron and AD.
Which was probably the most impressive win of the whole thing.
Right. That was impressive. And then they beat Cleveland convincingly, which you'd expect, at home. So even before that, they beat the Knicks by 30. So just an all around, dominant week for them, up until
ass kicking,
up until that Magic game. Where they lost by one. So who's been the best performer this week, Ryan? Who's played well for the Lakers?
Well, I mean, you could say LeBron or AD every time, and this week, you know, LeBron. But I would go with Dwight Howard, kind of filling the void. Yeah, filling the void for AD. See, over the past 8 games, he's averaged a double-double. 10 points, 10 rebounds, and he's 2 for 2 from deep in the past 8 games.
He's 100% from beyond the arc.
He is 100% from beyond the arc.
Look at that.
And he's shooting 62% from the floor, which is pretty damn good, too.
Get this man in the 3-point shooting contest.
That would be.
Can you imagine that? 3-point contest and then a dunk contest on the same night for him?
I'd pay to see him in a 3-point shooting contest.
I don't think he'd win, but that'd be amazing.
Oh, no, he wouldn't, but that's why I'd pay to see him.
Would you pay to watch a 3-point contest between, like, Dwight Drummond and, like, some terrible shooters?
Yeah, I think it'd be just as entertaining as the guys that can knock him down at a high rate.
So many bricks. Why not? Imagine that? Drummond, DeAndre Jordan.
Balls.
Yeah. I'd put, like, Dwight, Andre Drummond, DeAndre Jordan, Jarrett Allen. Who else? Who else is a bad shooter?
Well, there's not many these days, is there?
Maybe. Yeah, I can't think of any right now. Draymond Green, maybe.
I was gonna say Boban, but he's
Boban's decent, but that would be still funny. That would still be funny.
Yeah.
Maybe Joel Embiid as well, but that'd be funny. I'd pay to see that. Actually, that's a good point. I'd pay to see a bad 3-point shooting contest. That might be more intriguing than a good 3-point shooter shooting contest. Like
somebody like Body Armor or Gatorade or something should do something on the side, like a bad 3-point shooting contest. Like you have to have
the worst percentages,
or 10 attempts in the season, or even in your career or something.
Oh, dude, throw Russell Westbrook in there.
Now that
that's interesting, right? Right? Maybe
hilarious. Yeah, I would definitely pay to see. And if he got beat by one of those other guys,
oh man,
I'd be dying laughing.
Marcus Smart, maybe. He's been decent. But Russell Westbrook,
he hasn't played much though.
Right? Marcus Smart's been in and out. But no, that'd be funny. A bad 3-point shooting contest. I'm intrigued. We should push for this. Start making graphics and try to get this.
We should
out.
Put it out there.
I know.
We gotta tweet it out there. Would you watch a bad 3-point shooting contest?
I'm intrigued. I know I am. But as far as Dwight goes, has he just been, you know, how's he filling in for AD in the void that they've had with him out now?
Well, I mean, I think they struggle in terms of trying to get his points, right? I mean, you're missing 26 points, 27 points a game. You can't just make that up. And Kuzma's been hot and cold. So it's kind of a collective effort to get those points back up. And it's like against the Magic when you had Troy Daniels and Quinn Cook kind of going off, and you know, they still fell short, but those guys were playing well. They were impressive. But Dwight coming in, it kind of shows you the depth the team has at the position, or at least in the front court. The fact that AD can sit out and they still win, you know, 3 of the 4 games that he missed. That's pretty good. Not saying that there was elite talent they were playing, but OKC's no slouch. And I think that, like I said, that win was probably more impressive than anything, because I believe they had to come back. And didn't they score 81 points in the second half or something?
Oh, against OKC?
Something crazy.
OKC, yeah. They led by 30. I think they led 73-43 at one point. That was a blowout win. And then OKC sort of made a comeback, but it never got within 12 or 13. So, but still an impressive win. I think it was a confidence building win for them.
What game am I thinking of then?
Totally. Where they scored 81 or gave up 81?
No, they scored 81. And it was the most that they'd scored in a half since going back to
wasn't Showtime, it New Orleans?
Showtime era. Yeah, that might. Well,
I think it was New Orleans.
I don't know. All these subpar games are kind of bleeding together.
We get it. Your team's dominating. We get it. Looking over on the Clippers side, you know, you kind of want to don't avoid the usuals, like you said earlier, but I think I'm going to stick with the usual on this one because prior to his recent stretch of games, Kawhi Leonard in his, before these last 4 games, he was shooting 35% from the field. And the Clippers were struggling. They were losing games they weren't supposed to. Struggling with defensively, especially. And Kawhi just hasn't looked fresh. Since then, they've had a couple days off. They had that 4-day stretch with no games. And Kawhi Leonard has bounced back ferociously, I would say. He's averaging 35.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 4 assists, over 2 steals. And he's doing it on 58% shooting from the field. 58% shooting for Kawhi Leonard from the field, 45% from beyond the arc, and 89% from the free throw line in the last week, 4 games, that is. And they've had a 3-1 record in those last 4 games. Now, I will say, competition probably does have something to do with it. They took on the Golden State Warriors in a game that they won. They took on the Denver Nuggets in a game that they lost in Denver. And then they beat the Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic in 2 games. They beat them by an average of 26 points. Kawhi Leonard became, I think he was the 4th player in NBA history to have a 40-point game in less than 29 minutes. A 43-point game in less than 29 minutes. I think
the other guys?
Clay, who had a 60-point game in 29 minutes and then 28 minutes. And Dame might have been one of them. I got to go back and look at him, but he straight up dominated that.
Are these current players or are your active players?
I can look at it, but I believe it's all time. I can look for it later, but yeah, pretty much Kawhi and the Clippers dominated this week. They had some subpar opponents, so these are games that they had to win. Excuse me. I think the Lakers were the last team standing that hadn't lost to a sub 500 team, and that came to an end against the Magic. Yeah, Magic came in
until Orlando
and beat them.
Yeah,
are you surprised? Are you surprised to see that they were the last team standing in terms of the that sub 500 record?
No, not really. I mean, like they've been killing teams. They've been killing. I mean, every team. So one of the biggest differences from last season is that this team is beating the teams that they're supposed to beat and beating them pretty convincingly, right? So I wasn't surprised by that. What was it, 21-1 now? Something like that? It's either 22 or 21.
Let me go back and look at this, the expanded standings. Right now, excuse me, the Lakers are 22-1 against sub-500 teams.
22-1, yeah.
That is the second best record because Milwaukee is 27-1 against sub 500 teams.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah. Toronto's 20-2. The Clippers are 19-5. Surprisingly, the Clippers and Lakers have only had two overtime games combined. Each one has had
one. You know what? That's funny. Yeah, because I looked at that the other day when I was looking at the standings and all the past games, and I was like, really? There's been one overtime game, and I think it was against Dallas.
Yeah, that was the one in with Danny Green hit the game, the buzzer beater, excuse me, to tie it.
Yeah.
And then they went into overtime to win it.
Yeah. But that's like, crazy. Think about that. I mean, it could have gone into overtime the other day against Orlando. Pretty easy. If LeBron actually hit his free throw. But that's another thing.
Oh, you want to talk about LeBron's free throw? Please, we'll give you the stage. I know you love talking about LeBron's free throws.
The biggest flaw in his game, free throw shooting.
Well, look, I mean, God gave him everything. He couldn't give him that, too.
No, apparently not.
So the players to score 43 points in under 29 minutes, they are, or 29 minutes, yes. Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Kemba Walker, Larry Bird, Stephen Curry, Jaren Jackson, and Kawhi Leonard. That is all time.
Kobe's not on that list?
No. He's never scored more than 43 in less than 29 minutes. He may have ended up playing more. That's probably what it is. But
well, I'm just remembering that when he scored 62 against Dallas in three quarters.
But he must have played like most of those three quarters. So,
crazy.
But yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah. So Kawhi did that. Kawhi 43 points in 28.5 minutes. Full on dominating. And as I said, in the last week, he's averaging 35.5. On 58% shooting, 3-1 week for them. I think that'll just move us into our next segment, which is, you know, we're the best of the week now. We're just going to go to the concerns from the past week. And if...
Hold on. We got to talk about Kawhi's bionic knees.
Okay.
What is this?
Oh, the Terminator knees?
Terminator.
I mean, yeah. Look, you gotta reset.
Are his legs real? Are they real?
I think the NBA should investigate that.
I have never seen that with the – was there ice packs?
Oh, no, those are heating pads to keep your knees warm. They have them all the time. They use them all the time. They don't often use them on the bench, but they do sometimes. They use them post-game sometimes as well. But they use it to keep the – I think they're warming. They're warming machines to keep the knees warm. He was using that before he checked back into the game. But look, maybe he does have bionic knees. I don't know. He did that commercial with the Terminator last year or earlier this season. Maybe he, I don't know, maybe he's part Terminator. I mean, people have called him like a robot at times, so.
You got to give me some of them knees.
funny thing is, so I don't know if you saw this tweet I posted earlier. I was driving down to the game the other day, and I saw someone with a license plate, Kawhi Space L. And I was like, what the hell? Like, who is this person? So I took the photo and I drove by them. And it's like this random, it looked like a Middle Eastern lady, like Armenian or Persian or something. And I was like, well, they don't know Kawhi. Because that's like, I would have to assume they don't know Kawhi. It just seems too random. And then, you know, later that I went to the game, and after the game, they won, they beat Cleveland. He had that good game. I was nervous as hell because I've never spoken to Kawhi one-on-one like that. But I was like, hey, Kawhi, like, have you seen this photo? Like, do you know who this person is? We were walking out the tunnel, and he actually laughed and was like, that's crazy. I don't know who this person is, but I've never seen that before. But he actually laughed out. He laughed. He was like, oh, that's kind of crazy. What the hell? And I was like, whoa, this guy's got some emotion. Look at that.
It's like you found a way to break down those walls.
Take photos of people with the license plate of his name.
Just show them random shit, man.
Hey, Kawhi, have you seen this meme about you? But yeah, no, that happened, and that was pretty funny. I was like, oh wow, Kawhi's pretty chill. I guess in the last week, I also got clowned on by Doc Rivers. That was fun. Did you see that,
dude? I was dying when I saw that. It's like, wow, Doc knows you pretty well, dude.
Apparently, because he was just letting him rip. In case you missed it,
wow.
I don't know how you missed it, but if you follow, you couldn't have missed it. But if you did miss it, I asked Doc about having one or two. But I got the stat wrong. I forgot one of the back-to-backs, but it doesn't matter. I asked him about one of the having one back-to-back set in like a 47-day span, because that means, you know, Kawhi's not resting. They're getting a lot of guys on the court, a lot of time on the court. And then he cuts me off and says, wow, I'm proud of your studying. And then he goes, do you go out? He's like, what do you do? Do you even go out? And I was like, holy I just got roasted by Doc Rivers. And the entire room burst out laughing.
It must have been loud because you could hear it on that video.
It was definitely because everyone literally around me was laughing. Like, I've watched the video and I can pinpoint every single person's laugh. Like, a buddy of mine, Gio, was next to me. Like, Chris was next to me. Miriam was around me. Like, I could hear each one of their laughs if you listen closely to it. And I'm like, damn, everyone was just cracking up.
You got to get a shirt now and wear it to a game. It says, do you even go out, bro?
Should I get like a button up that says, do you even go out?
Oh, dude, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, dude, you know, I think I might do that by the time they come back from the road trip.
You could. You got plenty of time. You got like 2 weeks, right?
That would be incredible.
Do you even go out, bro?
That
would be
incredible. I might do that. We'll talk about that. But yeah, so he just roasted me. He gave me a really good answer after that, but that was a fine roasting. Like, Twitter was having a field day. It's funny. Some people were taking it so seriously, like, wow, that was so unnecessary and rude. And I was like, you got to know. Yeah,
really?
I think it's because, you know, if you know Doc and he knows you, like, it's different. Like, there's a relationship there. Like, obviously, he knows who you are. I think that's why he was like, yeah. I think it was Ben Goller who said it. He was like, you know, his daughter's married now. And so, like, you know, all his kids are growing up. And so he needs sort of like a kid to mess with. And you were that person. So I was like, all right, I can see it that way. That's cool.
So you're Doc's adopted son?
Apparently. Now? I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was that serious, but he can clown on me now. So,
Oh, man.
But no, that was...
Now you made it. Now you know you made it, bro.
Yeah, I was trying to decide right away whether it was a highlight or a low light because it was really weird.
Yeah, I think it was a highlight. That's great. That's a special interaction. You can't get that kind of response a lot of players and coaches all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say I'd rather have that than like a boring, you know, usual spiel about yes, this, no, this. So
exactly. That's what makes the job fun is when you get stuff like that.
Yeah, so that was fun. I really appreciated that. That was... It took me a second because it was really awkward right away. I was like, did I just?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know how I would respond. It would either be something really quick-witted and funny or just completely like during the headlights.
So Miriam, I told Doc right after. I was like, I don't know how to respond to that. And then Miriam after was like, you should have told him, no, I don't go out because Kawhi takes forever to come out post-game. And I was like, that would have been a perfect comeback. Why didn't I think of that?
That would have been hilarious. That would have been
But
perfect.
Also, it was like, it was so unexpected and like awkward right away that I was like, did I just get clowned on by a coach? Like, I literally went through my mind, like, did I just get roasted by a coach? Like, what the hell?
At least it wasn't Popovich or something. Then you definitely would have been. Like deer in the headlights. That guy's terrifying.
But yeah, we
I'll never ask that man a question. Ever.
I've been very careful with him in terms of what I ask. Someone asked him, that's someone brave. 2 months ago asked him, I think I told you this. He goes, Pop, you recently signed an extension with the team. Can you talk about what you bring to the organization as a coach? And really? I was like, holy. Pop had this face, this look on his face. And I was like, he's leaving. He's walking out of this right now. And he didn't. He went, come on, do I really need to answer that? And looked around and I was like, how do you follow that up? Like, what do you ask? Do you don't piss him off even more?
Yes. Those are the guys, those are the coaches and the players that are like in complete control when they can just say one thing and freeze everybody and end the press conference pretty much.
Yeah, so.
Kobe was a master at that.
Yeah,
People were so scared to ask you questions.
I heard about that, but I mean, I don't know. I appreciate the doc response. It was fun. It was a good moment. But yeah. Anyways, now I guess we can move on to the concerns of the week. And one of the concerns is, how do I recover from that roasting? No, I'm just kidding.
You got to go out more. You got to go out more.
Clearly, right? I gotta not wait for Kawhi anymore. Just go out.
More clutch points happy hours.
You hear that? Let's get more clutch points happy hours. I'm down. Let's do it. Concerns of the week. I guess we'll just start with the Lakers side. What's going on the Lakers side? What's your biggest concern for the last week for them?
Well, the way that they're playing, I mean, there's not really much to be concerned about. Kind of like last podcast we're talking. But I would say Anthony Davis's health is probably the only thing you could really nitpick on. And then maybe the backcourt in terms of whether or not they should get somebody else, because Rajon Rondo's hurt again, right?
And what is he at?
I don't think it's a finger fracture. I think he did the same thing last year.
Is he out a while?
Well, I think the initial report was like 4 to 5 days or something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just keep saying, you know, oh, the day to day, blah, blah, blah. But he's out for like 2 weeks, you know? Mm-hmm. But it got me thinking. I'm like, do they make a move now? Because it's at that point where, like, can we count on Rondo in playoff time? Like, what if this happens again? You know, what if he gets another small little nick where he's out for a week or whatever? And then you got obviously Troy Daniels and Quinn Cook who balled out against Orlando and played really well, shot really well. But can you count on those guys consistently? You know,
I think that's the problem with those guys, because they don't get enough playing time to be relied on. And if they do get playing time, can you actually count on Quinn Cook to make shots and not be a liability defensively? Troy Daniels can hit shots, but he's streaky. So,
yeah. Well, then you got, you know, Darren Collison just sitting there waiting for a job. I don't know if he is completely decided on whether or not he's coming back, and that's the holdup, or he's waiting for after the trade deadline, or what. But
yeah, I think he's waiting for a post-trade deadline move. I think, like, I was talking to one of the scouts who said that, like, one of the scouts I talked to thinks that Collison still has it, like, still can ball out, but it's too early. Like, teams aren't finalized right now. Like, the Lakers could make a move and not need a point guard, you know? Like, it might be too soon to sign Collison. The same with the Clippers. They could make a move and get a point guard. So I think they're waiting for the trade deadline to see what the rosters will look like, and then go from there. I think it's smart. I think the Lakers and Clippers should both not hurry to sign a backup point guard off free agency until their rosters are finalized past the deadline.
Well, I would just be worried if I was the Lakers about missing on an opportunity that's just there. I mean, all you got to do is waive somebody. So all you got to do is create a roster spot, right? You don't have to trade anyone. You don't have to make a move.
Who are you talking about? What player are you looking at?
That you would waive?
That you would sign, that you would want to sign or trade for.
No, I'm saying Darren Collison is a free agent. You can just sign him. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make a move. You could make a simple waiving of a player that doesn't play much, like a Troy Daniels or a Quinn Cook.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. You don't have to package a deal and make sure the money works and blah, 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 blah. Or send Kuzma somewhere else. All you got to do is waive a player.
So have we talked about the Kuzma Bogdanovich thing?
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week.
Okay.
That's not happening.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It doesn't make sense. But
I don't think they'll trade Kuz unless they have some crazy scenario where they can maybe open up multiple spots, and then if they know Iggy's going to get bought out or something, or maybe a three-way with Iggy and some other team. Like,
you should never say three-way with Iggy ever again.
You're a pervert.
Well, I say this because last night after the game, Lou Williams came out. Patrick Beverley was like, I want Iggy Azalea. I want her to know me. And Lou Williams was like, you hear that, guys? Patrick Beverley wants to meet Iggy Azalea.
Is that girl even like, is she even in the limelight anymore? Like, I haven't heard her name in
forever. I have no idea. I have no clue. Ever since Nick Young did what he did. I have no clue.
Pretty much.
But
pretty much. That's kind of been like.
That's kind of why that came up to my head. I'm like, because Beverly and Lou just talked about this yesterday. Anyways, I shouldn't have brought that up. I apologize. So anyway, a three-way with Iggy and what?
No, I'm just saying a three-team trade. Or some scenario that comes up to where you can get them, right? Without giving up, you know, a ton of assets or draft picks or something. But I would say, you know, the monitoring AD's health is something they got to keep their eye on. And obviously they are. And I think they're doing a good job with it. You know, he misses four games. They win three of them. No big deal. It'd be interesting to see what happens on this road trip, though. This five-game road trip.
Oh, I mean, he's not – is he practicing yet? Is he taking contact?
No, he didn't practice today. So that kind of led me to believe, like, I don't think he's playing tomorrow. But we'll have to see.
Do they have any back-to-backs on this trip?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I haven't looked at it. I just know who they're playing. We got Houston, Boston, New York, Brooklyn, and then the end with Philly. And that's over a two-week span. So maybe no back-to-back.
New York and Philly's a back-to-back. Oh, sorry, New York and Brooklyn is a back-to-back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
But then they're back to face your boys, and that's when it's going to get crazy. If they lose that third game, I think you might force Palenka to do something.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Come on, you lose three games, three out of three, against a team that you
know. The regular season games.
Yeah, but you know you're going to play these guys in the playoffs. And obviously, you know, the Clippers have had the Lakers number each time with relative ease, right? First game was kind of feeling out, but the Clippers still came out on top by like 11, if I remember correctly.
I think they won by 10 or 11, yeah, something like that.
And then the second game was a joke. I mean, the Clippers were clearly better. And then this third game, if it's the same result or even close to that, you have to do something. You got to shake something up. Because
if
they're at full strength, if they have AD back, right?
I mean, you would assume AD comes back within that time, right? It's 2 weeks from now or a week and a half from now.
But anything can happen in that time. I mean, this injury could be something that flares up again when he plays. You know, he plays and all of a sudden it bothers him or something. Or somebody else goes down. Who knows? But I would say it's going to be a telling game. If I were playing it, I'd honestly be like, okay, do I really keep this together? Like, should I get another weapon? Should I, you know, what trades are available? I'm sure he's already doing his due diligence, but it might ramp up the process a little bit. Because what is it, February 6th?
Yeah.
So they'll have like a week left after that? It's the 28th that they play the Clippers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 28th. So a week and a half after that.
So then all those, you know, all the rumors, all we're going to hear is rumors for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right?
Players going here or there.
We're not going to hear the end of it. We might have to record emergency pods for like some rumors, but we'll see how that turns out. So injuries basically to AD and Rondo, some of the scheduling, I guess. They haven't faced any adversity, so we'll see what happens with them.
I want to see Houston, I want to see Boston, and I want to see Philly. I think Boston will be really interesting considering it's on the road, first of all, but second of all, just, you know, the rivalry somewhat renewed. Boston's playing pretty well. But what about your Clips? What's the biggest concern, or what no one's talking about over there?
I mean, that's what no one's talking about, but the concern right now is health. Paul George missed another game. He's missed the last four, I believe it was. In total, they played 40. I believe they played 43 games. Yeah, they played 43 games. And where are we at here? 42 games, excuse me. Lou Williams has missed 3. That's good. Kawhi has missed 11. Paul George has missed now 17 games this season. 17 out of 43 is not. Yeah. Like, I don't even know if he'll make the All-Star team at this point if you keep missing games.
I don't think he will.
He's missed 17. He's already being ruled out for his 18th tomorrow. Like, I don't think you can make the All-Star team missing half your
season. So he's basically played half the season so far.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see when he returns, because by the time the All-Star break comes, maybe he'll have played more games. But right now, he's missed 17 games. Shamit missed 17, 18 games. Kawhi, as I said earlier, missed 11. Rodney McGruder's missed 13. Pat Beverly's missed 9. You can go down the list. And just guys have missed too many games with injuries, and it's really affected their continuity to the point where they can't get more than – they've had one game healthy all year, like first beginning to end, and that was the Laker game on Christmas Day.
Okay,
they were healthy that game.
That's for sure.
Huh?
I said it did all come together that game. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it took a really bad half to get it going, because I think they were down 16 at some point, or 15, whatever it was. But, you know, the next game they lose Patrick Beverley to an injury. Montrezl Harrell gets sick. It's just they haven't been able to piece together consecutive games healthy, and it's starting to be like, you know, is that going to affect them? Are these days off where they can't play together, is it going to affect continuity and practice and chemistry down the line? Because LeBron and AD look like they've been playing together for years.
Yeah, their chemistry came along really fast. Chemistry on the
court looks really good.
And they play together. I mean, they haven't missed much time, right? AD's maybe missed six or seven games total. And LeBron's?
I don't think it's as many. And he missed one to load management early in the season, and then AD missed the last couple. Right now, the Lakers have played 42 games.
Should be 41.
42 right? games.
Should be 41.
I thought it was 41. Sorry, 41. And LeBron has missed 2. Anthony Davis has missed 6.
Okay.
So, yeah. Compared to Kawhi and PG, who have missed, I think it was 28 combined, 29 combined. So. My concern is, will the Clippers end up having to play catch up, in late February and March when they're healthy, because they couldn't use this time to mesh and get and play well together. I don't know. It's something we have to watch for, because, like I said, the Lakers look really good, and I don't want to overblow things, because the Clippers have looked good when both Kawhi and PG play. I don't remember their record, but I think they're 20 and 3 or something like that. I don't remember what it is. They have a really good record in both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's play. I don't know if it's worth.
Understandably. I mean, two of the best players in the league playing together at the same time.
Yeah. So yeah, I just don't know if it's worth worrying about. But for now, the lack of playing together and continuity and health is really it's putting some worry. I would say it's a little worrisome that they haven't been able to get many. They've only had one healthy game together through 42 games.
I would say if you don't start to see some real chemistry and seeing these guys get healthy in the next 20 games, then it's like, oh shit, what's going to happen playoff time? You know what I mean? Maybe we got to sign somebody. I mean, who knows? I mean, the fact that the PG's – I didn't realize he'd missed 17 games. That's crazy. And now he's got a hamstring issue? That's the injury, right?
Yeah, so he missed the first 11 with the shoulder rehab. And then I don't think he missed one until he had this hamstring strain here, where he's missed the last week and a half now.
I mean, hammies are tricky.
For the last week and a half, yeah.
Yeah. Hamstrings you think can be healed, and then all of a sudden you're playing and it goes again. You know, it could be something that happens over and over again.
Yeah, but it's just so many things have happened that have caused them to not be able to play together. You just wonder, will it come back to bite them later? Clippers have been focused on now, so they don't feel like it has. But I don't know. You have to wonder whether it will.
Only time will tell.
Our next segment we have for this week is we had on the old podcast what no one's talking about. I think we've talked about what a lot of people are talking about, which is the health concerns, the games missed, the good chemistry between the Lakers, the solid play from Kawhi. But I think what no one's talking about on the Clippers side is the trade deadline's coming up, the February 6th. And I think the Clippers have a big decision to make with Montrezl Harrell. He's making about $6 million a year this year. Here's the problem with Trez. I think most people know this, but the problem is you can't trade him and get the same value back in a one for one trade.
That's most trades though, man. I mean,
most teams aren't looking to improve significantly.
But he will most likely
are they like maybe
he'll not. Most likely be the best player in the trade, right?
They're not right, exactly.
Yeah. So usually the best player in the trade, wherever he lands, is usually whoever wins the trade. I mean, generally, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, are they really going to trade him? You really think he's?
I'm just saying one of the. This is a situation they have to deal with, because if they don't trade him, they keep him through the end of the year, and he's an unrestricted free agent who can walk in free agency. Like you could get him, you could lose him for nothing. There's some people I've talked to who think he can command about $20 million in free agency from teams like the Hawks or the Mavericks or something like that. Wow. Maybe the Hornets shell out some money. I don't know if the Clippers are paying him $20 million annually to be their third best player. I just find it hard to believe. And if he drops his asking price to maybe 17 or 18, maybe
that's like
it helps you flexibility a bit. But as we know, he signed with Clutch this offseason, and they are notorious for getting guys
paid. So he's going to be on the Lakers next year. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the Lakers have no cap space, but maybe
they'll just trade the rest of the team, start over again.
Yeah, send AD over here. You can have
trust. Yeah, right.
They're both free agents, right? Sign and trade.
No, but I did hear a rumor, though, the other day when I was at the game. I was talking to somebody, and he was telling me that Drew Holiday really wants to come back to L.A. And I don't think it's going to be to the Lakers. Could be the Clips, yeah. I mean, he wants to, so it's not saying that it's going to happen, right? But imagine that. Do you think that's a considerable upgrade, say, if they swap those two? I don't know what their current salaries are, so I don't know.
The money wouldn't make sense because in a one-for-one, because Drew Holiday makes way too much.
How much does he make? Hold on, let me look.
Right now, where is it? New Orleans. Drew Holiday is earning $26
million,
oh, shit. Whereas Trez is making $6 million. So
just got to find that work, 20 somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not impossible. In order to make that work, like, let's say you do this. Yeah, like if you traded, for example, Mo Harkless, Montrezl Harrell, Rodney Magruder, and Landry Shamet to the Pelicans, and you send away and you get Drew Holiday back, I guess.
Is that too much? That sounds like too much.
I would maybe keep Shamet.
That's what I was thinking. It's like the other guys
and trade maybe like Lou Williams or Patrick Beverley.
Well, because you got Shamet under contract for two more years after this year, right? What does he got, a player option, a team option?
Yeah, he's a rookie. He's in a rookie deal. Yeah, he's a rookie.
So, I don't know.
He was doing his rookie deal. So, getting Drew Holiday to the Clippers would be tough. But that would be interesting. I don't know. The clip depends. If you're sacrificing way too much depth, then it's not worth it.
That's what I mean.
Like you don't want to be the team. I mean, maybe three stars is enough to do it, though. Maybe three stars is enough to get it done. But you don't want to be, you know, Drew, Kawhi, PG, and then no one on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to – I mean, you're going to have to stagger guys really well in order to play well at all times. So, yeah, I guess it'll just depend. Like I heard that, you know, Chris Paul might want to come home to L.A. Like, he's missed it ever since he left.
To the Clippers?
Like his family is – I mean, to no particular team. He just wants to – he wants to be back in L.A. Like, his family's still here in L.A. They go to – his kids go to school here.
Talking about an enormous contract that would be hard to move.
Exactly.
What's he making right now?
44, I want to say. 42.
Shit.
So,
yeah, no way. No way.
Exactly. So these guys want to come home, but their contracts make it pretty much impossible to come home. So
I think you're going to see this moving forward. It's these enormous contracts are going to make it to where trades are just damn near impossible unless they change things up, right? If they change the rules and maybe they have it to where a player can waive X amount of money to go somewhere. I don't know.
It would be tough. I don't know. But, yeah, one of the concerns for me is again, Trez. What do they do with Trez? Do they end up trading him as the deadline comes closer? Do they keep him? There's no easy answer. There's no simple answer to this. Part of me thinks that they'll keep him and just ride out the rest of the season and try to win a title. Because if you win a title, you should probably re-sign him and, you know, run it back. But if you ride it out and you don't win, that's where it gets more complicated, in my opinion.
I'm sure they already have a sense of whether or not he wants to stay. There's got to be a sense there.
I think he does want to stay. I think he's comfortable here in L.A. I think – how do I say this? They've got really good rapport as a team, and I think he likes the city as well and the opportunities here. But if they're not willing to match it financially, like this will be his first big payday. He's been playing like an $18 million player, making $6 million. So it just depends on whether he wants to capitalize and maximize on his contract now, or does he want to focus on winning while also making money but not making the most money.
Come on, first big payday, they always go for the money. Always.
Exactly, which is why it's a problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, just weighing the pros and cons ahead of the trade deadline. And maybe somebody becomes available in the next 2 weeks that just makes too much sense, and then they just pull the trigger, you know?
The thing with the Clippers is we've seen it in free agency and trades last year. They work in silence. Like, you never think a guy is available or on the market, and then all of a sudden, boom, they trade him. I don't think anyone thought Blake, 7 months after signing him, was going to be traded, and boom, they traded him. Tobias, I think people thought could be traded, but not, you know, it looked like a weird trade. Shamit for some of the guys they got. The Zubats thing came out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
So you just, you know, Kawhi and PG, you heard all the leaks. PG and Kawhi came out of nowhere this past summer. So you just can't rule anything out with this team. That's the thing. They don't leak, and you just can't rule anything out. So, that's my biggest thing that no one's talking about is just trade deadline stuff. What do you do? It's only 3.5 weeks away, but what do you do? Decisions.
Well, that goes on the Lakers too. I think it's the same. Same thing. Whether or not they feel confident enough, this team, as currently constructed, can compete for a long playoff run. I think it's the long game. And they haven't done it in 6 years, right? So they don't really know what it takes at this point with this crew that they have, with guys that are not exactly spring chickens anymore, right? So.
Well, the thing is, they're 33 and what? 33 and 7? 33 and 9?
33 and 8.
32 and 8.
33 and 8.
Oh, 33. Okay, 33 and 8. Like, is there that much wrong with the team? I don't think so.
When you watch them against elite talent, it changes. They can't do what they normally do. And I think the best teams are the ones that when they get stuck in a rut where they can't do what they normally do, they still figure it out. And I think the Lakers struggle there. I mean, like I said, I think January 28th is going to be telling. You know, if everyone's playing, you're going to see whether or not this team is good enough to compete with the other elite teams in the league. I mean, it's just the way Milwaukee and the Clips made easy work of them during that four-game stretch where they lost, what was it, Indiana, Denver, Milwaukee, and the Clippers. That was big. I think that's when the Kuzma rumors started, and like they're like, okay, maybe we should shake this up. And I understood it. I was like, yeah, maybe you should. Maybe these guys aren't as good as what their record says they are. I mean, I think they're great. I think they're a great team. I think they're deserving of their record. I think they're going to go to the playoffs. They're going to be a high seed, but whether or not they can really compete with the great teams, that's up for debate still.
Well, I mean, again, this is like we said earlier, it's a time will tell thing where this road trip will be big for both teams. We'll see how they mesh, how everyone plays. Hopefully they can do so healthy so we can get a better look at both teams. But it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to tell. I think, you know, there's no easy decision with both these teams because right now, look at this for a second. Right now, the Clippers are on pace for 56 wins, and we're talking about all their problems. The Lakers are on pace for, 66 wins?
I think it's 91 wins, actually. 91.
91?
Joking, bro.
Oh, with the extra. Hilarious. Oh, yeah. Hilarious. So funny. You're so funny.
Have a coffee. Have a coffee. In the 60s, I think at least in the 60s.
Well, 33-8, halfway through the season. That means, you know, let's say they rest some guys. They're probably a 64, 63 win team. That's probably second best in the NBA.
Well, I wrote about the other day that the Lakers are on track with some of the most historic teams in the franchise's history. Only, was it four other teams in the past? Mm-hmm. From the Lakers have won this many games at this point in the season, and each one of them won a title. They all won a title.
Wow.
It's Kobe Powell, 08-09. I think it was the 72 team that won 33 straight with Jerry West and Will Chamberlain. Magic, 87-88. And I think there was one more. Was there one more? I think it was Kobe Shaq. Hold on a second. Let me see. Kobe Shaq, I want to say, was it 99, 2000?
That's possible. They dominated. Isn't that the year they won 15-1 in the playoffs or 16-1?
Yeah, it was 99, 2000. Yeah, so that's pretty telling right there, right? So we'll see. I mean, if they can keep that up, we'll see. But, like, just there's so much that can happen in the second half of the season. And with all this load management now, you don't know when they're going to rest guys.
They haven't been resting later in the year. They'll do it later. Honestly, I think this whole load management crap has been overblown. Right now, Kawhi is on pace to play more games this year than he did last year at the same time. He's played one more game than he did last year. No one was talking about this last year. He's played in 32 of their 42 games. Last year, he played in 32 of their 43 games.
It didn't become a discussion until the second half of the season when Kawhi was sitting out a bunch of games.
But even then, let's look for example. Last year, he suffered an injury in January, and then he just load managed back-to-backs. He had one stretch where he sat out a road trip because I think he suffered an injury. But, you know, he missed, say, after the All-Star break, he missed 6 games. So it wasn't – I think the load management thing is being overblown. I think people are getting mad just because they want to get mad and say something about it. Like, it feels pointless. Like, Russell Westbrook is load managing coming off knee surgery, and that's fine. He should load manage, but no one has a problem with that.
But the second, Kawhi is doing it because he has a degenerative knee issue that the NBA's doctors have looked over and agreed that he has an issue. Everyone wants to lose their shit, even though he's on pace to play more games this so far than he has last year. I don't understand it. Like, people just want to be mad.
Well, I just think it's, they're just seeing it every night. It's like, I remember last night I was in the office, and as we were talking, okay, what good games are on tonight? And it was like Milwaukee Bucks against the Boston Celtics, and then there was your game, Clippers versus Orlando, right? And I was like, okay, who's not playing? Kawhi or PG? I knew it would be one or the other, right? And it was PG, right?
PG's been out for a while, though.
Because he's dealing with the hamstring? Yeah. But it was just like, it was just felt common knowledge that one of those guys is going to sit out, right? Even if it was legit injury or not, it's just, I think the load management thing started early for the Clippers, and then real injuries started happening. And then, of course, you know, Kawhi's had it anyway with his knee.
I mean, so
it didn't do them any favors in terms of
I try training. To understand people's cases with that, but last year Kawhi sat out game number 3 because it was a back-to-back. And he also sat out game number 7 because it was a back-to-back, and number 10, and number 11. And number, like, it started from the beginning for them too. So it wasn't like this year it was number 5. So, like, it wasn't like it took a while, or he did it too early. It was a back-to-back scenario that he thought out.
But you got to think too, though, that they're a title contender from the beginning of the season too, right out of the gate.
But the Raptors were last year.
Yeah, but people still didn't really believe in them. I mean, everybody thought that the Bucks were going to make easy work of the Raptors. They were just going to be a playoff team and then get killed by somebody. That was pretty much the narrative with them, and they outlasted the Sixers, which came down to a shot that went with 3 bounces, right?
Yeah, 3 or 4 bounces till it went in.
And then they shocked the Bucks. So it was like, I wouldn't say people thought they were a title contender.
Well, but the only issue with that is, like, he just showed that load management works, for one. Number two, like, the NBA's own doctors, not the Clippers, the NBA's own doctors have said that he has a degenerative issue that needs to be – he's injured. He needs to be monitored. And so people just still want to be outraged about stuff like this.
Yeah, but it's just –
I don't understand. I don't know.
It's just time.
People just want to be outraged about everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
I literally think it is. People just want to be mad about random stuff.
I'll give you a perfect example. Aaron Gordon was dunking all over the Lakers the other night, right? I mean, crazy kind of dunks. Like, slam dunk contest kind of dunks, right? And I was like...
Yeah, he had the off-the-backboard one, and then he had the poster McGee. Yeah,
okay. Crazy, like, reverse, where it didn't look like it was going to be a dunk until the very end, where he, like, threw it down like Blake Griffin, you know, like, down into the basket. And I was like, Aaron Gordon must be in the slam dunk contest. I tweeted it out, right? Some guy comes back at me, and I'm like, he's like, why? He's just going to get there? And then we're just going to be disappointed because his dunks weren't as good as the first time. And I'm just like, oh, my God, really? And I tweeted back and I'm like, do you need a hug? Do you need a hug, dude?
This just goes back to everyone being mad and angry for, like, no reason.
Yeah, just like being super negative for, like, well, why, dude? It's the All-Star weekend. We're doing it to be entertained. We're not doing it to win a championship or – you know, anything else besides entertainment value for one day, one weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. I had to get that rant off because I see a lot of people still making, like, a big deal about it. I heard on the radio on the way to work the other day, some guys were just like, load managing this, load managing that. And I'm like, what's the big deal? Like, have you actually looked at the stats to see that he's on pace to play more games this year than last year?
People don't look at that. They look at narrative. That's it. That's all they look at. They don't go any deeper than that. Well, like an AC Green, you know, guy played 2,000 straight games. I interviewed him the other day, and I asked him about load management. I was like, what are your thoughts as a guy who never set out, you know? Uh-huh. And he was just kind of like, I get it. You know, like, it makes sense.
Really?
It's like, he says, like, players – there's a lot of injuries that happen that don't even get reported, you know, like players, you know, sometimes they just need to sit. And it surprised me because I thought he would be the one guy that'd be like, oh, this is garbage. You just play if you can play. it was like 1,192 games is his record for straight games, right? Which is insane.
That might be untouched. That might be untouched.
Oh, that's never going to get touched again.
Yeah.
The game's different, right?
Tristan Thompson was close, but not that close. I think it was like 800 something, but not that close.
Yeah. So it just surprised me, but it's whatever, you know? It's whatever. Yeah. Is it going to matter? Is it going to matter if the Clippers win it all? Like, it won't matter.
If the Clippers win it all, that'll be a proof that in back-to-back years, load management has worked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to further prove that load management works. So, so before we head off, though, just going to look ahead at the upcoming schedule for both the Clippers and Lakers. As I said in the very beginning, excuse me, this is the Grammy road trip for both teams. So they'll both be out until the 28th of January. That's about a week and a half. Looking ahead, it starts this Saturday for both teams. It's actually the start of the ABC on the weekends now. ABC games. The Clippers have the Pelicans. They are in New Orleans. Take on the Pelicans.
Lakers Rockets.
Let's just start with the Lakers. Yeah, Lakers have the Rockets on Saturday. They go to Boston on Monday on MLK Day. A big day there, MLK Day and Lakers Celtics. Then they have a Wednesday, Thursday back-to-back in New York, and then at Brooklyn. So they have a Knicks Nets back-to-back there. And their final game of the trip is a Saturday afternoon game on ABC against the Philadelphia 76ers. That'll be LeBron versus Ben Simmons, AD versus Joel Embiid. That should be a really fun game, actually. So we'll see what comes of that. Ryan, just looking at this trip right now, assuming AD comes back, let's say for the Knicks, Nets and Sixers game, what's the Lakers record on this road trip? Five game road trip.
I'd probably go, it's tough. It's either going to be 3-2 or 4-1.
Ooh, 4-1. That's bold.
Well, I just think they're just hitting their stride. They're just playing pretty damn good basketball. So, and I don't think the Houston Rockets are as good as people think they are. I think Boston will be a challenge in Boston. Right. I think Philly will be a challenge, even though they're not playing as well as they probably should.
They probably just match up well.
Yeah, and I think the Nets and the Knicks will kind of be a wash. I think they should beat both those teams pretty handedly, unless Kyrie just goes off or something.
Well, he's gone off so far, but not on the court. So
yeah.
He's gone off on the locker room and media and all that crap. Everything. It's funny. They had no problems until he came back, and now all of a sudden they have problems.
Yeah.
It's just
it's ridiculous. There's one constant there. That's Kyrie. Yeah.
So you say 3-2 or 4-1, one of those two.
I'll go 4-1. I'll go bold. 4-1.
Oh, wow. That's wrong. Okay, we'll revisit this in a week, see where we are. The Clippers side, they start off with New Orleans on Saturday. They take on the Mavericks and Hawks in a back-to-back on Tuesday and Wednesday. That'll be – wow, they're going to see Luka and Trey in a back-to-back. That's going to be pretty crazy.
That'd be cool.
Then they go to Miami. This is this concerning one for me. They go to Miami on a Friday night. That's rough. Might be a little partying that night, win or loss. But that's an ESPN game. Clippers at Heat. That's on Friday. And then technically it's the second to last game of the trip here in Orlando on Sunday. But that's because the final game of the trip is at the Lakers, which is technically a road game on Tuesday. So in reality, it's a 5-game road trip. New Orleans, Dallas, Atlanta, Miami, Orlando, and then back here in LA for the Lakers game, which again is a road game on Tuesday, the 28th.
Say those games again.
If I had to guess,
say those games again.
New Orleans, Dallas, Atlanta, Miami, Orlando, and Los Angeles Lakers.
I think your trip might be a little bit tougher than what the Lakers are going to face.
Oh, I think it is. I think the Clippers, with the injuries they have right now, with Paul George already being ruled out tomorrow, with Mo Harkless questionable, I think they go 3-3 on this trip. I don't think they beat the Lakers For one, I don't think they'll be healthy. I still think Paul George might miss some time. We'll see if they're even 100% by then. Miami's going to be a tough one in Miami because they're 18-1 at home. The only team that beat them was the Lakers, and they beat them on a they played really well, but there was that controversial call at the end. It was, but again, 18-1 at home is really tough to beat. Atlanta's going to be in the second night of a back-to-back, so Kawhi Leonard will probably not play that game, which means they could be without Kawhi and Paul for that game.
They could still win that game. Atlanta's
they could. I just Atlanta's
Trae Young and no one else. That's it.
That's true.
I looked at the stats the other day. I didn't realize that Trae Young is like a scoring machine right now. Isn't he averaging like 27 points or something?
He's averaging 29.
Jeez.
I think he's fourth in the league in scoring. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Second-year guy?
Dude, what is going on around you? What is the ambulance is going on? What's happening?
They're coming for me.
What did you do?
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap this up quick. I got to get on the run here.
Jesus. Oh, my God. All right, well.
You can really hear that? Is that loud?
Oh, it's loud. It sounds like something's happening in your building.
So I live in the hood, bro. Live in the hood.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I think they go 3-3 on that trip. I don't think they win them all. I think they win New Orleans. They win Dallas. They lose Atlanta. They lose Miami. They win Orlando, and then they lose the Lakers. Lakers need that game bad. I don't think they're losing.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Like, those five games are nothing compared to that one game, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. They could go 5-0 on that trip, and if they lose that Laker game, then it's like, oh,
doesn't mean shit. They could blow out every team by 20, and if they lose to the Clippers, that's just going to be washed.
I think to the Clippers, it doesn't mean as much right now because they won that Christmas Day game, and they won that opening night
game. They've got leverage.
Then it's like, we could lose this. I mean, if they win it, they win the series, season series. So that's important. If it does come down to seeding,
when's the fourth game? Is it April or May?
It's in May. Whoa!
No. What am I talking about? March. Sorry.
You're already thinking Western Conference Finals, huh? It's March 8th. March 8th at 12:30 p.m. Afternoon game. That should be fun.
Yeah. Afternoon.
Yep, on a Sunday.
That's not so bad on a Sunday.
And before we wrap up, another quick look ahead. Ryan, I have a question for you, and I will give my thoughts as well. Are you ready for this?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay, so this Sunday we have the championship games, conference championship games. We have the Titans and we have the Chiefs. And we have the Packers and we have the Niners. Right now, I believe the Chiefs are a -7, favored by 7 points over the Titans. I might be wrong about that.
That sounds about right.
And the Niners are 7.5 point favorites over the Packers.
Really? 7.5? Well, they kicked the crap out of them earlier in the season, I think.
So. Yeah, I think their worst game of the year against the Niners. So
we got creamed.
So just looking at that, and I'm still looking for some of these odds just to make sure I'm right about that. Here we go. So it's now San Francisco is now -7, and Kansas City -7.5. So who do you have this weekend? Who are we seeing in the Super Bowl?
It's tough. I think both games are tough. I think, Niners, obviously, I think have the easier kind of route. And I know some people might disagree because I think I was talking to Dylan the other day and I was like, I think it really benefits teams in the NFL to not have an interesting narrative, right? The Titans came into the place. Yeah, the Titans came into the playoffs barely making it. I mean, the Raiders still had a chance to make the playoffs. If the Titans had lost that last game.
Yeah, the Titans need to beat the Texans is what it was.
And then they didn't cream Tom Brady, but they beat Tom Brady. Then they go on and they beat the MVP. Or who should be
that
MVP?
Was a decisive win. That was
Derrick Henry, man. That guy has got to be the best running back in the NFL now. He is just unstoppable. I think he's had like 180 yards like every game in the playoffs so far.
Oh, yeah. I think he's averaging that. Yeah. Something like that.
So it's hard for me to bet against him and the Titans because I feel like they're just like that dark horse on a mission. But then it's the Chiefs, dude. I mean, erasing that 24-point deficit last week.
Did you see how quickly they did that?
That's crazy. Well, my buddy texts me and he's like, can you believe this? 24-0. I'm like, no. I was like, wow, they really shit the bed. And then like it was 30 minutes later.
Dude, within a quarter, like, they came back to the lead. It was 20. Shit. Yeah, it was crazy. It was like 28-3 in the second quarter.
And then they ended up outscoring them by 20. Was it 51-31?
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? And then I was like, okay, the Chiefs are the Chiefs again, right? So that's probably going to be the most interesting game. And I'd probably have to go Chiefs, but I would not be surprised if the Titans pull off the upset. And then the other game, I'll go Niners. My heart wants the Packers, but I'll go Niners because I like Aaron Rodgers. But, yeah. So I think the best Super Bowl matchup would probably be Chiefs-Niners anyway.
I agree with that. I agree with that. So it's funny. I had the Titans winning in New England. I said they'd have a chance because Ryan Tannehill has been the best QB since taking over Week 8. Derrick Henry has been a monster. So I thought they'd have a chance against Baltimore. I didn't think they'd do it. I didn't think they'd do it that way.
I didn't think so either. I was like, how are they going to stop? You know,
their defense has been solid, so I figured they had a chance. I just didn't know if they could do it consecutively, and they showed that they did right away. But the Chiefs went on a 41-3 run in about like a quarter and a half. Like that's insane.
It is insane.
Like that's just.
It's like Madden numbers.
41-3 in a quarter and a half. I'm a big Patrick Mahomes guy. He won me my first fantasy football championship last year. So I cannot go against him after what he just did, after what they just did. So I think the thing is Titans are sort of underdog story. You want to root for those guys, but I just think the Chiefs will be too good. I think they'll win that side. And then on the other side, NFC. It's tough. It's tough because Russell Wilson was my guy, and Aaron Rodgers beat him, and now I'm a little upset about that. But but the Niners are sort of the Rams, I want to say, division rival. We know that. And so as a Rams fan, I cannot in good faith root for the Niners.
So you're going? So I'm going to go Packers Chiefs.
I think the best Super Bowl, like I said. Super Bowl will be Niners Chiefs, but I don't. I think it'll be Packers Chiefs.
You want to know an interesting tidbit about that matchup?
Okay.
The league is 100 years old now, right? It's the NFL 100 that's been thrown out all year long.
This will be the first time ever.
First Super Bowl was Packers Chiefs.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah,
100 years ago.
Keep that in mind. Maybe that's like a sign of things to come.
It could be. I'm looking forward to it though. But either way, looks like we both have Packers Chiefs this weekend. And that wraps it up for our episode. We've pretty much gone off the rails a bit. This is now an hour and hour and 8 minutes. I don't know if you guys stayed through this, but if you did, we really appreciate you. As always, I'm Tomer Azarli, Clippers reporter. You can follow me at Tomer Azarli. That's TomErAzarly on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Ryan Ward on Twitter and Instagram as well. And YouTube, actually. At Ryan Ward LA. I don't know if you have the LA on YouTube, do you?
It's all the same.
Smart. Get the handle the same everywhere. As always, subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review, a 5-star review, please. Any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, complaints, angry messages that you have. You want to laugh at me getting mocked on by Doc. That's cool, too. Just let us know about it. I love engaging with the fans. Ryan gets sick of you guys sometimes, but that's okay. He'll do it as well. But hit us up and I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you enjoy the podcast. We're going to try to ramp it up as the season goes on. And yeah, we'll just go from there. Ryan, any final words?
No, not really. Just looking forward to the games tomorrow. Playoff games. Should be interesting.
The playoff games are on Sunday, dude. What are you, drunk already?
No. There's one tomorrow. Wait, no, we got one
NFL,
game.
They're both Sunday. They're both Sunday. Yeah, 6:40, 3:05. Yes, there's nothing tomorrow. Oh, there's a McGregor fight. Okay, we'll watch that. All right, well, that wraps it up for us. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll catch you guys next time.
Peace.